Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
Paul said in Ephesians, and Jesus stated that the centurion's faith was the greatest he had ever found. We need to look at this today and figure out why it is such a powerful display of faith. You know, not many people encourage you in your faith. In fact, most people will discourage you in your faith. If you find people that will encourage you in your faith, you need to hold on to these people. Unfortunately, some people are married to people that are doubters. The Bible doesn't give you a permission to just go divorce them because they're doubters. In fact, contrarily, the Word of God teaches us you must stay with them, and the Bible said by your conversation or your lifestyle, win them to the Lord. But if you're married to a doubter, it really makes it a lot more difficult in your life. I am just blessed to marry to a woman that has amazing faith. And the greatest thing about Becky Fender is the fact that she is the most permanent fixture in faith. It doesn't waver. It's just the same every day. She's very careful with what she says, even when things happen that are not to her liking or our liking. She doesn't really talk about them. She moves on. And that's a blessing. But if the people around you are not that way, you can't get rid of your husband or your wife or your children. But some of the people that you hang around with, you can just, as my old neighbor said, get shed of them. Just get shed of them. In other words, put them out of your life because you realize that they're doubters and they're not contributing to your faith. If you're going to a church that does not contribute to your faith, you probably need to change churches. When you come to the house of God, the greatest thing we can do at Living Way is increase your faith. And so faith cometh by hearing. What are you hearing? That's what determines whether you're going to have faith or not. And so when we realize that, let's analyze this today. Let's look at this centurion. He was a Roman, and Romans were not people of tremendous faith. They were angry people. They were violent people. They were rude people. This man was an exception to his race. You really do not have to be a product of your family or your genealogy or your race. You can stand up and say, I'm going to be an individual. Nobody is going to make me be what they want me to be. I'm going to be what God has called me to be. Number one, this man understood the power of authority. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, and he goeth; to another, come, and he cometh; and to my servant, doeth this, and he doeth that. And so he is a man under authority, and he understands authority. Friend, one of the greatest lessons you can learn is authority. And you do not have authority if you do not submit to authority. We as believers have tremendous authority. We have authority over demons. We have authority over angels. We can even have authority over fellow human beings. But that only comes when we submit to the authority of Almighty God. And here was a man that had authority, but he recognized that Jesus Christ had authority. He understood who Jesus Christ was. He called him Lord. Now, how this happened, I don't know, except that somewhere he had heard and he had believed. That's the essence of everything, hearing and believing the right thing. He believed that Jesus Christ was who he said he was. Jesus was not a boastful man, but he was a man of declaration. And he had declared his authority when he declared that the Father had given him all authority and all power. This man knew that. He understood that. You have to realize that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Not anything that was not made by him, the Bible declares. It starts, your real faith starts with who you identify Christ. Is he just a good person? Is he a great rabbi, a wonderful teacher? Is he one in a long parade of pseudo-messiahs? Or he the Lord God Almighty robed in flesh? If you understand that, you'll never question his ability. You'll never question his authority. You'll never question his power. You'll never question his willingness. And so when I talk about Jesus, my life is wrapped up in him. I believe that he is able. I believe that he is willing. I believe he has all authority. I believe that he has all power. I believe he's ever present. I believe he's in this room right now. There are people in this building that need miracles from the Lord today. They need them to be manifest this week. It might be in your health. It might be in your finance. It might be in your relationship. You need miracles today. You know, the only thing that is missing to keep you from having a miracle is faith. If you have faith, God will produce a miracle in your life. Everything was stacked against the centurion, who he was, the condition he was in, all of this. But he had that one wonderful quality. He had faith in Jesus Christ, and he believed. We have to realize that Christ not only has authority, but he has given us authority. When you get saved, it's not just the fact that he changes your destination, he changes your DNA. When you get truly born again, you are a new creation. That means that Christ gives you the gift of faith. Kenneth Hagin said that faith is only given to believers. I'm not sure I subscribe to that, but I do know that believers have a greater quantity and a greater quality of faith. When you become a true believer in Jesus Christ, your faith level goes way up because you start believing that God is and that God is able. But not only that, that God's empowered you. God has implemented in you that same creative power that he had. One of the great revelations I received many, many years ago was that faith is creative. It literally can create. It can make something out of nothing. That's the reason why the Bible said the evidence not seen. It's creative. Creative is such a tremendous word because it literally means you don't have to have any ingredients. It just comes out of nothing. It's created. It's not made. It's not assembled. It's not putting parts together. It's created. It literally brings something out of nothing. And so that means that when you understand the authority of Christ and the authority he has now given to you, you don't have to have a lot of evidence. You don't have to have people smiling. You don't have to have people nodding. You simply believe that God can bring it to pass where there is absolutely no evidence. Nobody is saying amen. Nobody is agreeing with you. Nobody's lined up to approve you. There's not a validation in your family of your ministry. You simply believe that God is going to do it because he's God and you're you. And it's going to happen in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this man understood not only the authority of Christ, he understood the authority of the follower of Christ or the believer. You see, authority is an amazing, amazing thing. Believe it or not, I'm going to shock everybody in this building. There was a first-time visitor, a young girl, looked at me maybe 20 years of age last Sunday, and she came to me and she said, this is my first time, and maybe she's here today. I'll be back, because she said, you are so wise. And both, number one, she's 20 years old. Have you ever saw a 20-year-old that thinks a 68-year-old person is wise? Man, I just fed on that all week. Just tremendous wisdom. But here's the shocking thing I'm going to tell you right now. I'm probably not the wisest person in this building. I'm probably not the most intelligent person in this building. I'm probably not the best educated person in this building. But you know what? I've got the microphone. It's called authority. That's the reason why backseat drivers are dangerous. They will make you have an accident. Watch out! And you will react not to what you're seeing, but what you're hearing from the back seat. You'll slam on your brakes. You'll pull out. You'll make a turn. They think they're helping. The problem is you can't drive if you don't have your hands on the steering wheel. And so you might have driven a car in the 500-mile race at Indianapolis, but if you're sitting in the back seat, you're not in authority. You say, but I'm more educated in driving a race car. I'm more experienced in driving a race car. I have better reactions than you do. That's not the point. You're not driving the car. And so this man understood authority. And friend, if you are military, how many people have you served under when you realized that you were more intelligent than your officer was? It doesn't matter, because they're in charge. That's one thing the military teaches, is authority. If we learn authority, it will cause faith to blossom in our life. It's not because we're the smartest person. It's simply because we understand the chain of authority. And God has said it, I believe it, and it's going to come to pass. There is faith in this house right now. All I want to do is unwrap it like they took the grave clothes off of Lazarus. All I want to do is take the lid off. Because some of you have heard so much word of God. You've known Jesus for so long. You've followed him for so long. All I want to do is unwrap you and let your faith go, because that means you're going to be healed before the sun sets today. It means that the sun comes up today. You're going to be healed before you go to work in the morning. When you get to work in the morning, the way is going to be made straight. There's going to be a raise waiting for you. Why? Because your faith has been unleashed, because you understand the authority of Christ and the authority that Christ has given you as a follower of him. And so the number one thing we need to learn from this man that had the greatest faith that Jesus ever saw was his authority and his understanding of authority. The next one is big. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. This is a big item you have to get. The centurion's sense of unworthiness never diminished his sense of expectation. Friend, you might know some things about you that we don't want to know. And you say, well, because of that, I'm not worthy to be blessed. You know, I don't know who Pastor Brandon was reading the card. He hasn't shared that with me. $39,000 unexpected check. You say, well, the reason why that man received that was he was perfect. But since I don't know who he was talking about, I can tell you that man was not perfect. There's nobody in this house, including yours truly, that's perfect. Our perfection is not what decides faith. It's not what decides a miracle. He said, I am not worthy that you should even come under the roof of my house. But nevertheless, my unworthiness does nothing to dampen my expectation. I believe that a miracle is going to happen in my house, not because I am worthy, but because I know who you are. Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot have big things in your life by boasting on your accomplishments and asserting your perfection. The miracles that are going to happen in your life is when you begin to brag on Jesus Christ and realize that God is going to work a miracle not because of you, but in spite of you. Praise God. He loves you no matter what's happened in your past. And Jesus is saying right now, believe that I am able, and don't try in any way to dampen or dilute the miracle by your past performance. That has absolutely nothing to do with it. Do you believe Jesus is who he said he was? Do you believe that Jesus has done what he said he's done? Do you believe that Jesus has that power? Do you believe Jesus has that authority? Do you believe Jesus loves you like he said he did? Then case closed. He is willing to work a miracle in your life today. All you've got to do is become like the centurion and say, I'm unworthy, but that doesn't really matter, because you are the Lord alone, and you're going to speak a word, and today I'm going to see something happen in my life that I've never seen before. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no life as exciting as the adventure of faith. God's going to do it just because he loves me and because of who he is. The efficacy of the power of God is in the perfection of Jesus and not in the perfection of the recipient. In other words, it's not about me. I don't say, Lord, because I've tithed, because I've attended church, because I've preached, because I've witnessed. None of those things are a basis for the miraculous performance of Almighty God. I say, Lord, because of your love, because of your greatness, because of your incarnation, because you came 2,000 years ago, died on a cross. You literally defeated every demon out of hell. You defeated death, grave. You defeated everything. And because of that, my baby is going to get well. Because of that, my job is going to prosper. Because of that, my health is going to return. Because of that, the Holy Spirit is going to fall. Can you give God some praise in this house today? My faith is so high today that I believe somebody's going to get healed while I'm preaching here in just the next few moments. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell. While Steve is preaching this word today, I believe the Holy Ghost is going to fall. I believe the healing is going to manifest. I believe the faith is going to come upon somebody. Jesus said, look at this centurion and realize if he could be this kind of person of faith, you can also. Now let's look at the third reason. You know, before we go to that, it's one of my favorite verses. It's in James chapter 5, verse 17, talking about Elijah. And the phrase is so unique. Elijah was a man of like passions. Break that word passions down in the Greek. It means Elijah was a man of like failure. Elijah was a man of like weakness. Elijah was a man of like sin. All of that was in Elijah, but it did not stop him from speaking to the heavens and shutting them up. It did not stop him from speaking to the heavens and opening them up and causing a great rain to break the drought. What does that mean? That means you might be as bad off as Elijah was. He was suicidal. He was bipolar at one place, sat under a juniper tree and said, I want to die, because he was fearful of Jezebel. And yet he is one of the great heroes of the Bible because he manifested faith. And so in the morning when you get up and you get ready for your day and you know it's going to be the greatest day of your life and the devil comes in like a flood, let the Lord raise a standard of faith in you and say, Elijah, a man of like passions, could not be stopped. And here I am, a man or woman of like passions. I'm not going to be stopped. I'm going to shut up the heavens to where not one bad thing can happen to my life today. I'm going to open up the heavens where there is going to be a flood of God's grace, God's power, God's healing, God's prosperity, God's joy. Can somebody shout in this building? Hallelujah. Oh, the pot's boiling. Somebody's about to explode. How many people remember the old-fashioned pressure cookers? Used to cook with those. My mother used to fix the best chicken and noodles in the world in that thing. Man, I wish I had them for dinner today. But one day in that big old farm kitchen we had, something went wrong and that pressure cooker exploded. I walked into that kitchen. I said, Mama, what happened? We had noodles on the ceiling. Oh, friend, I feel like somebody's like a pressure cooker of faith. You're about to explode. There's going to be noodles on the ceiling here in a moment. There's going to be people in the aisles praising God. There's going to be somebody jumping up and say, hey, I just got healed. I just had a manifestation in my life. I just saw my husband saved. You got to see it in the spirit before you see it in the flesh. Praise God. I see good things happen. I see my mailbox having a check in it. I see my kids coming to the Lord. I see my body being healed. I'm about to explode with faith. Praise God. God is doing something, and he's doing something right now. I said it last week. I'm going to say it again. God is not just near. God is here. Look at somebody and say, God is not just near, but God is here. God's in this building right now. Somebody that's got a sickness in your body, you ought to reach up and claim your healing. You ought to curse that cancer. You ought to curse that diabetes. You ought to accept the power of Almighty God that's in this place. And I say, I know God's in this house today. Can you give God some praise? Give God some praise. Somebody give God some crazy praise. Somebody give God a dance. Somebody give God an applause. Oh, hallelujah. Something's happening. Something's happening. In the name of Jesus. Number three, my last point. This is amazing. The centurion understood that the power of the Word of God is airborne. We're having one of the worst flu seasons we've ever had. 30 children in America have died in the last couple of weeks from influenza. I saw one young boy was fine. That morning he started feeling bad. That evening, this healthy young 16-year-old boy was dead just that quick here in America last week. Influenza can be very, very serious. We take it kind of lightly because most of us have had it and got over it rather quickly. But it can be very serious. Viruses are amazingly deadly. But there's only two ways that viruses are contracted. They're either airborne or droplets. Droplets are those things that happen within 3 feet. Somebody sneezes on you. There is a saliva somehow. It's a droplet. Those are more readily contained. But when they become airborne, they become extremely deadly and extremely prolific. Here was a man that had so much faith that he understood that the Word of God is airborne. You know how many Christians still don't understand that? They think in order to be healed, they've got to get on an airplane and fly to San Francisco to the renowned Cow Palace and actually let Benny Hinn touch them, or they can't be healed. But people that have great faith understand that the Word is airborne. They or somebody else can just speak the Word, whether it's 3 feet or 3,000 miles. It simply does not matter. He understood the Word was airborne. He said, there's no reason for you to come to my house. I'm not worthy that you would come to my house. When you got there, there's not going to be much to see. But this I understand because I know who you are and I know the authority that you have. Speak the Word and my servant will be healed. How many people today have that kind of faith in the power of the Word of God? You know, the Apostle Paul said he was addicted to the ministry of Christ. You know, if he was addicted to the ministry of Christ, I believe that I can be infected with faith. Not only can I be infected with faith, I can become infectious with faith. That I don't have to touch you. I don't have to sneeze on you. I don't have to blow on you like Benny Hinn blows on people. But I can speak the Word. And when I speak the Word, that Word goes out. It binds every demon. It subdues every symptom. It releases every angel. But most of all, it unwraps the healing virtue off of Christ's back and wraps it around your back. And regardless of what the devil has said, or what a doctor has said, or a friend or enemy has said, it simply doesn't matter because you remember, whose report am I going to believe? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. The Bible said, you talk about the Word being airborne. The Bible said His Word cannot return void. When His Word goes out there, it has to accomplish that purpose before it can return back to Him. It is airborne. The Word of God is airborne. Look at somebody and say, the Word of God is airborne. And the Word of God is coming toward me right now. I'm going to be healed while He's preaching. I'm going to be moved by the power of the Word of God right now. I'm going to begin to prosper right now. The Word of God is airborne. His Word cannot return void. Jesus said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, talking about it. He breathed on them and said, receive you the Holy Ghost. There came a sound as a rushing mighty wind. It's airborne. The Word of God is airborne. You don't have to sit on the front seat to get a miracle. Somebody way back there on that back seat, so far I can't make out your facial expression. I want to tell you the Word of God that I feel, the power of faith that's in this building right now is walking across these pews and it's coming to you, and you ought to reach up and grab it out of the air and say, I'm saved, I'm healed, I'm faith, I'm delivered in Jesus' name. Many years ago, it happened right here in this church next door. There was a man that we did not know, and he did not know us. And he developed cancer because of poisons that he handled on his job. And he was dying. He was in the last days of his life. But what he didn't understand was he was living next to a little woman in this church that was infectious with faith. She had faith. She knocked on his door and said, I want to come in and talk to him. His wife let him in. She went into the bedroom where he was dying. And she said, you know, the Lord can raise you up. He had never heard that. He'd been raised in a Catholic church. The Catholic church does a lot of wonderful things around the world, but they'd never communicated this to him. She said, you know, the Lord can heal your body. She began to quote the scriptures to him, and he began to believe. He began to believe what she was saying, and praise God. Before he came to church, I never did get there to lay hands on him. I always wished I had. I always wished I could say, I put my hand on him. It ain't whose hand is on you. I'm telling you, the word of God is airborne. It's infectious, praise God. Right now, the word of God can bring you out of whatever situation you're in. He can turn around in a moment. You say, but I don't see. That's the important thing. The evidence of things not seen. Just believe God's going to turn around that situation because the word of God is airborne. And it's highly contagious. I've got it. She's got it. He's got it. And you're going to get it. Praise God. Your faith is growing right now. Hallelujah. She began to share the word of God with him. She wasn't an elder. She wasn't a deacon. She wasn't a pastor. She wasn't a televangelist. She wasn't a rabbi. She wasn't a pope. She wasn't a priest. She wasn't a nun. I'll tell you what she was. She was infectious with faith. He got up out of that bed, and the first time I ever saw him, that cancer was totally gone. The first time I ever saw him, this Catholic man that never had anybody talk to him about giving in his life, said, my neighbor said she spoke over me, and I went to the doctor, and the doctor said my cancer is gone, and she said I ought to bring an offering. He put in my hand the biggest check that any saint has ever given to this church at one time, $50,000. I said, you sure you want to give this? He said, yes. I was given $500,000 by the company that poisoned me, and now the poison's gone, the cancer's gone, but I still got the money. I want to sow this seed. Oh, praise God. He came and worked in our ministry here for years. He's in heaven now. But praise God, the point is that faith, that wonderful faith of a saint of God was infectious. He got out of his bed because he lived next door to a contagious woman. I wonder if anybody living next to you has any kind of an exposure to faith. Are they safe in their doubt? They can live and die just like they are. Or is there an infection that is in you called faith that is so strong that while they're sleeping and you're sleeping, that faith that lives inside of you comes out of your pores, out of your nostrils, out of your mouth. It climbs out of your bedroom window. It scales the wall. It goes across the grass and the yard. It scales the privacy fence. And little known to them that while they are sleeping, they are infected with the greatest faith that Jesus ever saw. The faith that does not have to have a tangible evidence. The faith that does not take a preacher's hand. It's just that they believe the word of God. That he was, he is. He is everlasting. He is the resurrection. He is the healer. He is the power. He is the miracle worker. He is ever present. He's in this house right now. Somebody ought to get out of your pew and say, praise God, I just got infected with faith. I'm healed. I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm liberated, I'm free in the name of Jesus. Can you lift your hands and give God some praise in this house? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You can retire from your job. You can retire from your church. You can retire from the ministry. But ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you that I am on a mission to have more faith than I've ever had and to be highly contagious. Everywhere I go, people are being infected by my faith, believing that they can change, believing that God can perform a miracle, believing they can live and not die, believe they can have and not be at the bottom but be at the top. Praise God. I want to be infected with faith, and I want to be highly contagious. We don't have much of this in this country, but before I was born much. I can't hardly remember. But before they had all of the antibiotics and what we have today, when people got sick, they quarantined them, put a sign on their house. You couldn't knock on their door. They were quarantined. You know, there's some people of doubt in your life. You ought to quarantine. Said, I ain't going to fool that guy till he gets saved. I'm not ever going to call him again. I'm never going to visit her house again. I just can't stand all that doubt, because you understand, I'm a person that's working on my faith. I want Jesus to look into San Antonio and say, whoa, angels, take a look at this. I marvel at her faith. It reminds me of the centurion's faith 2,000 years ago. Praise God. He understands authority. She understands authority. She realizes, or he realizes, that he is not really worthy, but that does nothing at all to disengage their faith. They still believe that God is going to work that miracle in their life. And the third thing, praise God, they understand that it doesn't take a certain preacher or a certain song or a certain sermon. It's just them receiving the word of God out of the air and letting it apply to their life. And he said he sent his word and healed them. Ladies and gentlemen, today in this building, God is sending his word to somebody that needs a miracle. You need to climb out of your pew and run up here and say, I caught it, I caught it, I caught it. I got it, I got it, I got it. I am infected with faith, and praise God, my miracle will be manifested in the next few hours, days, weeks. Praise God, it's going to happen in my life in the name of Jesus. Becky.